Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless the USA on this 4th of July weekend. I had the privilege of meeting Red Skelton in Indianapolis when he came through.
Yes.
We had a group that was staying at the same motel, and it was indeed a privilege.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because back in 1969, Red Skelton did an explanation of the Pledge of Allegiance. And I encourage you to YouTube it this week in his own voice, his own way. He was a clown. He was a master of making us laugh.
Yes.
But he felt this from his heart, and it came across. I hope I do it some justice. He writes, "I remember this one teacher. To me, he was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time. He had such wisdom. We're all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and he walked over. Mr. Lasswell was his name, and he said, 'I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it is becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country, of America, and to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom and the right of power to live one's own life without threats or fear or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or quality of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means it's as much your country as it is mine. Since I was a little boy, two states have been added, Alaska and Hawaii, to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, that's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too? This was Red Skelton in 1969.
And if you'll all join us, we'll say it put together.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Happy 4th of July. It's just not a party weekend. It's in remembrance. Well, as we gather here to worship at our Savior this day, I hope you're in a worshipful mood wherever you may find yourself, whether it's today, Sunday, or later this week with the podcast. We welcome you to our Savior Lutheran Port here in Michigan this July 4th weekend. So this day, we're going to have some new music for you. Keep expanding my repertoire. My library now has over 200 CDs and over 3,000 musical selections in categories of instrumental, singular, corporate, with choral or solo, and all kinds of varieties and choral music, as you're going to hear in today's service. So as we welcome you this day, one of the hymns of the church, All Creatures of Our God and King, our gathering hymn. Sing along with us. It's worked at rehearsal. It's skipping now. So the greeting, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Coming before God, let us come clean with God, admit where we stand and how much we need him. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, we confess together our sin. We confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves, and we rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all.
We abuse your good creation for our own benefit.
We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sinned in thought, word and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us.
And in your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we do have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven, so let us live now in hope. For hope does not disappoint, but because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our next hymn is Everyone Prays, a new selection for you, but it's a wonderful one, and it's a go get 'em.
Day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long.
Hallelujah.
Several times I've heard this new hymn of praise, more of the phrases really jump out for me because I don't have written script anymore and you do. But it seems like worthy is his name. For those who know the basic Ten Commandments, you know, the commandment of the first three deal with our relationship with God, and God's name is holy and should not be taken in vain. And regretfully, too many in our culture and civilization use it as profanity rather than praise, like this hymn. Worthy is his name. So, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Our Bible first reading today comes from Zechariah, chapter 9, selected verses. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope today. I declare that I will restore to you double. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is from 145, selected verses, but our antiphon is, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are good to all,
and your compassion is over all your works.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power,
that all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
Your dominion endures throughout all ages.
You, Lord, are faithful in all your words and loving in all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 7. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Gospel reading for this day, as for the whole calendar year through the end of the season in November with Christ the King, and starting a new church year with Advent 1. Matthew is the gospel, 11th chapter, beginning with verse 16 and selected through 30.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace, and they're calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you. Why didn't you dance as we expected? You wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking. They say, 'He has a demon.' Now, the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, like you wanted John to do. And they say, 'Look, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard, he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, but you've hidden them and revealed them now to the infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Nobody knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal it. So come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. And I invite you to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will be gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with all of us in this time of confusion, chaos, and wondering what in the heck is going on. Amen. The scriptures always speak to the contemporary. I don't have to push the question. It just jumps out of the passages of the Bible. For those unlearned in the scriptures of the Bible or the prophets, part of revealing God's will and purpose, it'll look like chaos or confusion. But to the student, it is wisdom. It is divinely revealed, divinely understood. So I'm going to take the order different from the first reading. I'll try to come back to it at the end of the sermon if I remember. Let's go to the second reading, because here's where we begin in life. A lot of times you find yourself doing things that you told yourself, "I'm not going to do that again." You find yourself doing things or forgetting to do the things you wanted to do, But somehow something else came along, an attention deficit disorder, and you forgot to do what you were supposed to do. You forgot to go to church. You forgot to do something kind and neighborly for a neighbor. You ran out of time. You made excuses. Come on, we all do it. They say that the pavement or to perdition or to hell is paved with good intentions. That's because intentions don't become realities. I'm reminded of a comedian who did for HBO a series repeated by parenting, but he has fallen in disfavor, so I won't mention his name. But he would talk about the dialogue between a parent to a child growing up pre-adolescent. He has explained to the child, he comes up to the child and says, "Didn't I tell you not to do that?" Child sheepishly says, "Yeah." Father angry says, "Then why did you do it?" Child sheepishly says, "I don't know." Isn't that the way we always are before God? I don't know why I do it. I don't know why I understand the teachings of Scripture and not apply to my life, though I will it to happen, but somehow I don't do it. Here's another comedian years ago, Flip Wilson. I'll name him. And in the situation of his comedy, many times he did the routine about the devil made me do it. And he'd play his parts and his characters so wonderfully on television. And it always said, "You know, the devil made me do it." That was a catchword back in the 70s by people. And understand that the devil doesn't make you do it. Let's go to Scripture, Romans. "I don't understand my own actions. I don't do what I want. I do the very thing I hate. In fact, it's no longer I who do it, but there's something, a condition in my life." You got to understand, this is not a deed. This is a condition of life. This is what we call post-Adam fall. From the Garden of Eden, where the original sin took place of disobedience and wanting to be like God and having all knowledge, brought about the consequence of death and separation from God. Sin is a condition, not just a singular deed I've done once or twice in my life. Sin is dwelling in my body, in your body. I know nothing good really dwells within me, my flesh. That's the reason why we say in our prayers, take no strength or comfort in your own flesh. That's Scripture. I can will it, but I can't do it. Luther in the Reformation will talk about the bondage of the will. He is so right on to this Roman passage. If you understand the concept, or if you've never heard the concept of bondage of the will, in today's world, you can Google Luther, bondage of the will. You can read his treatise. Hopefully they'll give you an English translation updated, so it's not an old English or some other, or German, worse than that, because I can't read German. But I have read The Bondage of the Will many times in the course of my life, and I have experienced it every day of my life. You know how you say, first year resolution, January 1st, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the first 2 weeks. Or I'm going to do this, I'm going to exercise every day 30 minutes. And now we're at day two of the new year, and it's like, oh, well, I wanted to do it. We don't do it. We're in a battle zone. You understand why the church is called the church militant before our death and resurrection? We're struggling between good and evil, struggling between our will and our other will within us. It's not the devil who makes you do it. It's your refusal to yield to God's will in your life and purpose. Don't blame anybody but you. Let's apply it to society. Oh, it's because of my circumstances, born in poverty, born in these conditions, because I was not of the privileged class, I don't have a chance. Look, you have a certain amount of control, not total control. Nobody does, so don't even be envious of something that doesn't exist. I was born in a house of poverty. My father just went bankrupt the year I was born. His plumbing business and things were going bad. You got to understand, not all of us are born on the Ivory Coast. many of us have come up through bootstraps, giving us conditions. Some would say, but John, you were privileged. Or like Scott's message last week, he was privileged. No. Whatever our circumstances, listen to the testimony of people raised in poverty and cycles, generations of poverty. And they got out of it because of some superpower or God's presence that gave them the strength to break that cycle. God is available all times to us. We just choose not to call on it because it means we have to change the way we do things. Because God wants us to do it the right way. We wanted to do it the easy way, the convenient way. Paul comes to peace, as I think all people do, whether you're in recovery, dealing with drugs, alcohol. How many times you've gone on the wagon? How many times you said you're going to stop cigarettes? You're going to stop doing this? You're going to stop doing this? Many times, it's not just psychological, it's chemical addiction. Understand, God knows that too. The only thing is when we let it do it to us rather than break free of the chain and reach out for help through Jesus Christ. Isn't always easy, and it's not always a passing word. It can mean more change within your life of accountability, of responsibility, and trust as you walk a new path. But the answer is, like Paul says, coming through that tension of every day of our life, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the only remedy for this society. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's not blue or red. It's not candidate versus candidate. It's not Congress versus people. It's going to be, as the Old Testament prophet says, if my people will humble themselves and call upon the name of the Lord, then I will hear you from heaven, and I will answer your cry for deliverance. Anybody believe that? Is that part of your prayer? The Gospel, Matthew. Jesus says, look, people, you want to control how God comes to you. You told John the Baptist, and you criticized him because he didn't live the, fancy free life, eat, drink, be merry, hedonism? No, he didn't. Ascetic life, just bare bones out in the wilderness, eating grasshoppers, locusts, and honey. That's not a diet for endurance. It is a reflection of his denial of the material world. He didn't like that tune he played. And then I came among you. I sat with you. I drank with you. I showed fellowship with you. I loved you just as you were. I accepted your condition. And you dare to call me a drunkard? A glutton? Because I did the norm? The normal thing. No, you people. You are so stiff-necked, so hard of heart. Isn't that the condition of the world at this time? For whatever reason, we know the remedy, but we don't choose the remedy. We don't want to be humbled. We want to tell God how to play the song, how to wear, you dance to my tune. And God say, you don't got a tune. You dance to my music. My music leads to life. He goes on to say, and I love this promise at the end, it's just not all condemning us. There is good news, please believe me. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary or carrying heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and you will discover what it's like to be set free. I am gentle, I am humble in heart. You will find the rest that your soul longs for. I did not choose today, but I'll choose it in the next week or two, I bet. It is well with my soul. That basically says I've come to a condition of my life. I'm not in charge. He's lost his wealth in the great fire of Chicago. My Mrs. O'Leary's cowl knocking over a candle. What luck was that? He lost his family on a ship going over to Europe, England. for a vacation. So when he follows the path of that boat that went down in the Atlantic, he composed the song, "It's Well With My Soul." Being at well with God doesn't mean you've gotten all your want, all your desires. He's not the genie in the sky and you rub it like in Aladdin. He is the God who runs over heaven and earth, the God of nature, and a God of the nations. We must not forget that. If you come to follow Christ, it's going to be different. You're going to have burdens and responsibilities, but you're not going to have addictions. You're not going to have loss of control. You don't lose your control by the Holy Spirit taking you over by a possession. You're fully free to be the person God in Jesus Christ wants you to be. Good news for all those who are struggling, who find themselves in Paul's situation. I am torn between two worlds. Luther understood that in another treatise of the Reformation, the treatise Summa Est Peccator and Summa Est Angeli. We are both sinner and saint. That tension is within us, even though I name Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wonder if we were to ask people in the streets shouting and breaking through windows and stealing property, people showing disrespect to other citizens, people demanding their way over other people's ways, if they really understand Jesus Christ and selflessness and humility. Now, get ready for the first reading. I did not forget it. And I still have time. I'm watching the clock. Here's the reality. I'm in bondage. Jesus says, if you follow me, take my yoke, I'll set you free, and you'll have true peace. I'm not getting it, Lord. What's breaking this up? Well, we know it's sin. So when's it coming, Jesus? Isn't that a fair cry of the Christian? People without faith don't know who to call to. We name him Jesus Christ. Okay, Lord, when's it coming? Let's go to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Pull that lesson out, Zechariah 9. Understand, this is a point in the captivity of the people of God, the Jewish people. They're in captivity in Babylon. They've been told they're going to get deliverance. They're waiting. Come on, bring it on. We're in captivity. We're denied going to worship. We're in a foreign land. How can we go? The temple's destroyed. You ever feel like, how can you worship here? We can't get into our church. Rest assured, the day is coming. We will let you all know. But in condition, the word of the prophet is, oh, come on, children, rejoice in the midst of this. Shout aloud. Act in hope. Express joy before the reality has happened. Your king is coming to you. He's triumphant. He's victorious. He's humble. He's riding on a donkey. Boy, that doesn't sound like some presidential candidates with egos. This is God. This is not human egos. He's humble. Philippians 2, he came as a servant, was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Yes, that's Jesus. Yes, also the prophet says, because of the covenant, you got to hear the pronoun, of my covenant, the blood of my covenant with you. Understand, you are a child of God by the will of God and not by your own power or might. Luther is strong in that in the explanation of the Apostles' Creed. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ nor come to him. It is God who makes that possible. I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. So you're going to return to your stronghold. And get this twist of the words, prisoners of hope. You're sitting hundreds of miles away from your homeland. No temple in sight. It's ruins and burned to the ground by Babylon. Persia is giving you permission to return home by their conquest over Babylon. And you are prisoners now of hope. God's claim on you is that one day this will take place. I declare, and here's the future intense, I will restore you. Double. When all seems like lost, this world is crazy, you got to keep clicking your heels and saying, it's not crazy. This is the Father's world. And it's all going according to God's plan, even if I don't understand it. Therefore, what can we do? God is worthy of our praise because God is our remedy. Can I hear through the radio? Amen? Amen. Yes. And may God bless his word to the living through these days. Amen. Our service continues with our hymn of the day. It's a new one, but you'll love it. Listen to the lyrics. Eye of the Storm. That's where we are. The Eye of the Storm. It's by Selector.
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet,
like
between
today.
The black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see.
Yes.
And when I'm feeling like I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can hear the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. I did my best, now I'm scared to death that we might lose everything. And when a sickness takes my child away and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord, in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Amen. We affirm together our faith as we've witnessed to God in music with the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers. Hope leads us.
Called into unity with one another in the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. We pray for the church. Sustain us as we share our word. Embrace us as we struggle to find our common ground. Lift up leaders with powerful and prophetic voices. Free us from stagnant faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the well-being of creation. Protect the air, water, and land from abuse and pollution. Free us from apathy in our care of creation and direct us towards sustainable living. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the nations. Guide the leaders in developing just policies and guide difficult conversations. Free us from patriotism that hinders relationship building. Lead us into expansive love for our neighbor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all in need, for all who are tired, feeling despair, sick, or oppressed. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your consolation and free us from all that keeps us bound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for this congregation. Bless pastors, deacons, and congregational leaders. Energize children's ministry volunteers, church administrators, and those who maintain our building.
Yes, Lord.
Shine in this place that we might notice the ways of your love transforms our lives.
Yes.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for those who have died in faith. Welcome them into your eternal rest and comfort us in our grief until we are joined with them in new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And gracious God, as the church council has met now twice, with the leadership of this congregation coming together to seek your will, to make decisions about when we can gather publicly together, we pray that you bless us in our decision to follow through, waiting until we get clearance by those who are knowledgeable, have medical and scientific and historical documentation that it's now time to restore our gathering. Whenever that may be, Lord, help us to be patient. We also pray continually, Lord, for the person and life of Joe Coulthard. He has now repositioned himself at Regency, Lord. Give him and his dear wife, Elvira, a sense of patience. And while they are separated from one another because of the pandemic, the disease, COVID-19 and those restrictions, may they be both cared for, Lord, in your love. Receive all these prayers, O God, and those that are too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue in our prayer as Jesus has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. are offering him this day from the repertoire of my new collection of things. You know, I have been blessed in these last 16 weeks of preparing worship this way by the accumulation of wonderful musicians and music, and certainly the music of it. This one is another beautiful one. New Doxology, it's called. Sounds traditional.
The offering prayer, I just wanted to remind people that we still have bills.
Yes, we're running short about $1,000 a week.
We are trying to be forthcoming with knowledge.
Yes.
And trusting in God, who will see us through in the past, and who will see us through today and tomorrow. But we need your help.
A radio broadcast this day is Lois Langhoff. I forgot to say it at the beginning because of the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much, Lois. Her husband was a faithful Marine, his life and her son. And we thank you for your service to this country. Next week, Judy Avers and Tony Gaines supports our radio ministry.
And I'm pretty sure, because I just heard this on the news the other day, that as of yesterday, the United States of America is over 250 years old.
Oh, I guess.
244, I think.
44? Okay.
244, okay. Something like that.
So the offering prayer book?
We have much to be thankful
we
for.
We do.
And we have much that we have offered up to our Lord. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are the signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world, through Jesus Christ, our strength and song.
Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn is The Church is One Foundation.
I've asked Cheryl to read the first two verses so you know the lyrics again if you've heard it before with us, but you can sing along with it when the choir sings it on the next CD.
I think we've learned from the Pledge of Allegiance from Red Skelton that sometimes we do things as rote and we forget what the words actually mean.
Yeah.
So hearing it in a different way helps us to present that. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation,
yes,
yet one o'er all the earth,
one church,
her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses,
yes,
partakes one holy food,
yes,
and to one hope she presses, with every grace endure.
So this morning, as we were just playing the song, I sang all four verses by rote. We'll see if you can too. Here it goes.
And for her life he died.